This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. I haven't said that in a long time. Thank you guys for joining us and listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Thankfully, we're all powered up here.
I was waiting to see if you're going to mention it.
The lights are on mentally and physically. And Coach Dan, is that you?
I make no promises for the first part.
Is that you? Is that really you? Can I hear your voice? It's been so long.
It's been a while. It's been like a couple weeks now. It's been 2 weeks we were off.
We doubled up in the bye week. And then the last 2 weeks, things have...
That's what did it. We doubled up and that messed it up. They're like, oh, you want to do two shows? Well, screw that plan.
Right, you're missing the next couple. So I do want to apologize to everybody that listens to this show. Normally, we don't miss this much time in between shows. I had some stuff...
I'm traveling.
Yeah, unless you're traveling. I had some personal stuff I had to take care of a couple weeks ago. But last week, we have a teeny tiny little minor... windstorm, not even like a 5 minute storm.
Yeah, that was a pretty big windstorm though.
And
actually, you guys up there got it worse than we did up down here in Olney.
Apparently, but I didn't think it was that big a deal. But I come home from work and no power, and the great, wonderful company that Baltimore City employs to give us energy, who I blocked on Twitter because they're terrible. They didn't get anything fixed until 1:15 in the morning, so couldn't record.
Damn!
Yeah. So I got to eat like Rick and Michonne on The Walking Dead this past week by candlelight.
Nice reference.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got to do that. And then I went to bed early, and all the lights came on, and my printer woke me up at 1:15 in the morning telling me, hey, I'm awake now, and thanks for the power to come back.
I'm self-aware
now.
You're like, well, game's over, guys.
But
we had a nice run, everybody.
Yeah. But here we are. So we're back from our bye weeks, and lots going on in Caps world. I mean, big trades have gone down. Let's start off talking about the trade. So the Caps won the trade. The trade championship, I guess, making the biggest trade, getting the biggest name player out there with.
I think that's what it's called, man.
I mean, you had to have seen the tweet, right? The tweet of the Capitals raising a banner saying they won the trade deadline.
Aha, everybody. That
was pretty funny. Yeah, whoever did
that. That was good. That was very clever.
That was really good.
I mean, but that was pretty clever.
Yeah, but Kevin Shattenkirk is now an official Washington Capital. Were you shocked at all that the Caps did anything? Because we kept hearing Brian McClellan come out and say, I don't want to do anything at the trade deadline. It takes guys a long time to get acclimated to the system. We saw what happened with Lars Eller. Took him a couple months. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But here we are a week later, and I guess it hasn't been a week since the trade deadline, but news came out, Caps were shopping around with Shattenkirk, and then boom, they win the lottery here, and they get him. Were you shocked that this move was made?
Yes, I was shocked, and I think that McClellan was telling the truth when he came out and he said that he was not planning on making a big move. I think he was telling us exactly what his plan was, and I think because the St. Louis deal with, I'm blanking who it was, Florida or somebody, they had a deal going with another team, and it fell through, and then it was a sign and trade, and that's when St. Louis was like, all right, we need to get something for him. We're going to go ahead and not do a sign and trade. We'll just send him off as a rental, which brought the price tag down in terms of what it would cost to get him, and that's when McClellan probably was like, huh. All right, I'll give this one a shot now. And I think the fact that they were able to get the biggest name that was going to be available at the deadline, and they were able to do it without giving up a lot. Yes, you gave up a couple of high picks, and we're not even going to get into the second pick because holy crap, is that convoluted and confusing.
There's a great video that we put on our Facebook, facebook.com/WTP podcast, of Jay Baruchel going over the contract stipulations on TSN while he was there to promote Goon. It's actually really funny. Go check it out.
It is the, like, it. I don't even know what to say. It's just like I was reading it and I was like, what? Wait, but either way, to only have given up like two draft picks or maybe more, depending on how this works, and Zach Sanford and some minor league guy, Brad Malone, really is not that bad to get Kevin frickin' Shattenkirk to bring him into this team. And yes, everybody's saying he's gone after the season. He's probably going to sign with the Rangers. He's from New Rochelle, which is right outside the city, or the Bruins. But if he enjoys his time here and they find a way to move out a couple of guys that cost a lot, there is a possibility you could keep him around. But I think in the end, this was a great move, and I think this was a sign from McClellan that this is our season to go out and win it, and they have to do it now.
I mean, Backstrom didn't like the term that now we're all in, because according to him, they've been all in forever.
Yeah. That was not a great way to put it.
But how? But come on, this is definitely going all in, because this guy is...
Well, you're throwing everything at you, the kitchen sink and the stove.
I mean,
it's all going in there.
It's a fantastic deal. He makes this team better. 100% he does. It will take him time to get acclimated to the system, but I saw a video of him and Ovi practicing.
Doesn't appear to have been.
Right, right.
He's playing fantastic.
He is, but, you know, there's video of him and Ovi practicing what they do during, you know, power plays, because the power play hasn't been spectacular this year.
Yeah, you know what he's doing on the power play that they haven't done in the past? He's making the pass from the point to Ovechkin's stick. It's the thing that Carlson has not been able to do.
As always,
and
to Ovi's foot.
Freaking nailing it, and yes. It's been great. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, so he definitely adds a dynamic to this team that wasn't there before. And, you know, when McClellan went out, brought in Lars Eller, strengthened up that third line. The fourth line, Winnick, Beagle, Wilson, who I did not know this, but Winnick calls these guys the lunch pail line. I didn't know that, but he tweeted that out. And
I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They've been solid. Holpe's been solid. Grubauer's been solid. Defense has been great. But at a time when we did have Niskanen and Orpik both out, I think McClellan got a little scared and wanted to have a solid veteran defenseman there in case one of those guys go down, because they are older. And there's a chance that, like last year, we lost Orpik for a couple games for a suspension. So there's a good chance that, you know, maybe he's not playing all seven games.
I mean, some of that possibility. I think they definitely wanted someone that was a right-handed shot, because as I understand, Carlson and Niskanen are the only right-handed shot at defense when they have it. If one of them goes down, you only have one dude. And so Shattenkirk was a great guy to bring in, and you're able to bring him in, and he's fit in very well, and he plays on the power play, and he's very solid defensively. This is a guy, he's only 28. So, yes, if he's a rental, you didn't give up much to get him, so it's not the end of the world. If you find a way to keep him, you have a very, very good defenseman that could be potentially playing on your first line. Now, you're going to have to make some moves to keep this guy around by getting rid of someone, Brooks Orpik, or moving out a couple other guys, and some of it will depend on who McPhee ends up taking over to Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be Orpik, but good Lord, how amazing that would be. I will be running around the house screaming if that ends up being the case, because that will be fantastic. But if they find a way to keep this guy around and all they gave up was a minor leaguer, a guy who's got a decent upside, but I don't know. I mean, the talk has been that Sanford, he may be kind of like a Cody Eakin guy. Like he's a bottom six guy. That's his future, which is a nice thing to have. But the Capitals look like they have plenty of those guys. Yeah. So it's not the end of the world to lose a guy like Sanford. And yeah, you gave up what was a first round pick, but you also gave up like a conditional pick. It's not the end of the world.
Not at all.
So I was very happy with this deal, and it gives them a good opportunity. I think McClellan was going to go out and he was going to acquire a defenseman one way or another. But to have gone out and not given up that much to bring in this guy who is incredibly talented, I think was a great move.
And besides him, he also was able to get Phoenix Copley back into the mix, which he actually left Hershey
Phoenix
for the Oshie deal. And now he's back in Hershey, and that's
coming all around, man. It's coming back around.
That's filling a huge void, because McClellan said that he wanted a third goaltender to be NHL ready, because, you know, there's a chance Grubauer is no longer a Capital after this season, and he could be a Golden Knight. But you know, Phoenix Copley. We'll talk.
Copley's in the guy.
See, what's that?
You think Copley's in the guy? He's gonna be the backup.
there's a good possibility. We'll talk more about Copley in Down on the Farm, but he has NHL experience. He's played for the Blues a couple games. I mean, he could be a solid backup, but we'll talk about more of him in Down on the Farm. But let me ask you this. So this deal, Kevin Shattenkirk, we both agree, great deal. We're happy that he's a Capital.
I don't see how you couldn't think it was a good deal. Not you, but like the collective you.
Sure. But let me ask you this. Was this deal by McLellan more about making this team better or making sure he's not a Ranger or Penguin come Stanley Cup playoff time?
Both.
You think it's a little, it's 50-50?
I think McLellan was definitely looking at it going, this will help my team and screw over the other guys and give them and prevent them from being able to go out and acquire a guy who's obviously very talented. I think that definitely was on his mind when he made this move. But I think the fact that he was able to not, I'm really curious what the Penguins and the Rangers deals were, what proposed or the proposals that they made.
I mean, this
in
is,
terms of what they're, because it wasn't like the Caps gave up that much.
Yeah. I mean, this was a great deal.
Not Sanford. I like Sanford. I thought he would have been a very good bottom six forward for this organization going forward, but to be able to go out and bring in a guy who may push you over the top and finally get to that freaking silver thing that they've been trying to get for so long. It was a move they had to make, and to not have to give up that much was fantastic. And to have the opportunity, you know, hopefully, cross your fingers, to be able to re-sign him in the offseason, because if he enjoys his time here, it's not like he went somewhere and this is a team that has just that one run, had a really good year, and then they fall off the following year. And yes, let's talk about the Capitals not going to be as good as they were last year. But they went out, and they're a team that has been good every year. And yes, they haven't been able to get over that hump past that second round of the playoffs. But this is a team that is going to be good next year. They probably won't be as good as they were this year just because of the way the salary cap works. And we'll see where it gets up to next year. But there's a very good opportunity here for them to have the chance to re-sign him.
I mean, that's definitely a chance.
At least
however,
you have to give up.
However, I think McLellan is also worried about what's going on right now. I think he is being short-sighted in that way, which is not a bad thing. You know, everyone talks about, you know, long-term, yada, yada, yada. But like we said, we've been saying it all year, there's a lot of contracts coming up at the end of this year. A lot of guys that are not going to be here. So if you're going to win a cup with this team, you had to go all in on Shattenkirk.
Look at Chicago. Look at L.A. L.A. a little bit less. But Chicago has gone out and they have their main stars and they have their core around it. And they always, you know, replace the core with new players and they continually win the cup. This
right.
is what good teams do. You have your core players and then you surround them with other guys and then you replace those guys as they get too expensive and bring up younger guys or sign other veterans for less money. And I think they may have found a guy that could be one of your core players, and that may mean you lose a guy in the offseason like Carl Alsner.
Or TJ Oshie.
No, because McLellan already came out and said he wants to bring Oshie back.
I do too, but it ain't gonna happen.
No, but I think it's gonna end up in the offseason, but I think some of it will play on who Vegas goes after. I mean, my guess is it's Orlov. I think there's gonna be other goaltenders on the market, and they'll probably go pick someone like Orlov. Although maybe not. With the way things are going, Orlov may be protected. So we'll see.
All right, so we've covered the Shattenkirk trade. I think we're both happy about it. We both like what we've seen. I do want to bring up a concern, though, that bringing him on hasn't addressed. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but since the bye week and pretty much all this season, the Capitals have had trouble against teams like Nashville and Dallas, and they can't match their quickness. These guys aren't fast. They're not skating fast.
They've got fast players. They're just not quite as fast.
They're not. Yeah. Well, they're not. They're not fast. These guys are a little slower. They're older.
You're wrong.
Yeah. They're just not as fast. So, if the Capitals were to face a team that's got a couple youngsters, a couple AHLers on their team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, how do the Caps battle back from that? Because this is a big concern of mine going forward. Is that these guys just aren't fast? I guess like you know. Maybe outplaying them, playing a full 60 minutes, not getting burned out. But, you know, I've seen it against Dallas. I've seen it against Nashville. These guys are slow, and they can't keep up with some of these young kids coming in.
I think that we've seen them beat teams in the past that are fast. I think it's just a matter of controlling the play and staying physical and just not letting them just get burned and beat by a guy just because he's fast. It doesn't mean if he's fast you can't hit him or put, you know,
right,
put a body on him. So I'm not as concerned about the lack of speed, because I do think they still have speed. Maybe they're not quite as fast as some of these young guys, but they're not a slow team by any means.
No, I don't think they're a slow team, but they are just getting outskated in more than one occasion, and it's something I've noticed and I'm a little worried about.
No, I mean, it's definitely a legitimate concern, but it's not their biggest one right now.
Sure. What do you think their biggest concern is?
If their goaltending falters.
Really? You don't have faith in Holpe?
No, I have faith in Holpe, but if he's having an off night, this team is in trouble.
Well, a lot of like what we're seeing up against Dallas this week, I think a lot of the stuff really isn't Holpe's fault. It's the team kind of hanging him out to dry, as well as very poor
officiating
as well.
I think, I mean, talking about the Dallas game specifically, I don't think he had a very good showing, but the team also wasn't entirely great. But I think that this team, maybe the goaltending isn't the biggest concern, but I think some of it is when the top line isn't scoring. This team struggles from time to time. And yes, this season more than most, we've seen that the bottom six and the other three lines are able to step up when the top line isn't scoring. But if the top line's not scoring and the other lines are struggling a bit, obviously you're going to have a problem. That's kind of maybe the dumbest thing I'm saying. But you're definitely going to have some trouble and you're definitely going to have some problems. And defensively, I'd like to see a couple more goals coming in from the defense. I don't think we see a lot of goals from the defense on this team.
Well,
they definitely chip in offensively. I mean, that Shattenkirk pass to Backstrom was phenomenal.
Yeah, in this Dallas game was absolutely beautiful. That's what we pay this guy.
It was hurting.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you're bringing up the first line. I do want to bring this up. Oshie missed about 10 days. He missed a couple games in that time with an upper body injury. Justin Williams goes on the NHL Network, says that it was actually a concussion. Are you a little bit perturbed that the coaching staff didn't tell the media or whatever that it was a concussion and just said it was an upper body injury? Like, is there a rule that says they have to say whether it's a concussion or not?
I don't think there's a rule regarding the release of information in regards to injuries. I think, you know, that's why OC teams say an upper or lower body injury, and it doesn't bother me. And yes, as a fan and a guy who tends to pay more attention to that kind of things, it bothered me just, you know, personally, because I just want to know what was going on. But as a realistic fan of the team who wants them to be able to keep things like that a secret so other teams can't prey upon it to some extent, I'm fine with them not revealing that information, because it keeps other teams from, like I said, from being able to be like, oh, he's got an arm injury. Let me get a little bit of an extra body check to that side of him when he's on the ice. And so, yes, this information gets out, but it's also, I think, a good thing to try and keep that a secret as long as possible.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there, but I just don't like the fact that, you know, concussions are...
It seems like they're being a bit sketchy about it.
Yeah, they're so important right now. They're such in the spotlight. We don't know a lot about the side effects of concussion. We're just starting to figure it out. So I think, like, when you hear the word concussion, you know, the worst thing comes to mind about it. So I think that's why they're not really telling people about that, because you don't know how long they're going to be out, or you don't know if they'll be back tomorrow. Like, you don't know when the symptoms will stop. You know, it's just that type of thing. So I don't know. I thought it was a little weird that they didn't specifically say concussion, but I see their reasoning not to. But that's just something I thought was a little weird. So, but in his absence, taking his spot was top line Tom Wilson. What did you think of Tom Wilson's play on the top line?
I think they need to stop trying to make it happen. It's nothing against him. The guy's just not a top line player. And it, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say that he was a waste of a draft pick, because that's just clearly not true. But I think the fourth line does very well with Winnick and Beagle. Right? Beagle?
Yes.
Why did that sound weird? Winnick, Beagle. I don't know why for a second I was like, hold on. Winnick, Beagle, and Wilson. I think that's a fantastic line, and it was a little weird to be like, why would you break that up considering it's working well? Maybe you give one of the young guys an opportunity to jump up or move someone from the second line. I mean, you're not going to move Kunetsov over to the wing. That would be silly. But I think there are other options, but it seemed to be working because this team is on a roll right now. Yes, they struggle coming out of the bye week, and it's statistically almost every team has struggled coming out of the bye week, and this is something that the general managers are going to be looking at. I think they're in Boca Raton in Florida this week for the general managers meeting or meetings or whatever it's called. And so they're going to be looking at those things in regards to how it affects the NHL going forward and what they want to be doing. And there's talk about next year having like half the league is on a bye week at one point, then the other half goes on one at a different point. Or when you come back from the bye week, you're playing a team that is also coming back from the bye week, and to make it a little more even. Because like I said, the statistics have shown if you're on a bye week and you come back, you're very likely to lose. And so it's almost like, yes, it helps teams because it gives the guys a chance to take a break, but it also hurts them because you're losing points in the end, and which one is more important at some point. And so those are one of the things they're looking at. I think the Caps struggle coming out of the bye week, but it seems like they've gotten back to normal. And yes, they had that game against Nashville, and they had the game tonight against the Stars. They haven't looked very good, with the exception of sort of towards the end of the second period. But this is a team that is playing very well lately, and they're going to have, you know, a hiccup every once in a while, and you're going to have a game where you're not playing quite as well as you should be. And I don't think it's the end of the world. They're not going to win every single game. No one's going 82-0 or 96. And no, that's not right. Hold on. All right, yeah, 4-4-4-4. Yeah, you know, I don't feel like doing math right now. No. But the point is, you're not going to win every game and go undefeated throughout the regular season. It's just it's not going to happen. However, as long as you bounce back, so you know, after the national game, we saw the team play better. Depending on how this game goes tonight, if they bounce back after what this potentially be a loss and they're playing well, then I think that is telling to show, hey, it may have just been an off night. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean anything necessarily for the future. And they'll continue to work and continue to push forward.
You know, I think the bye week needs to go away. I don't like what happened afterwards. I don't like the effects it has on the on any team. I think it's a little weird that they tested out this whole bye week thing on the same season that was condensed due to the dumb World Cup that no one watched. So I don't know why.
Huh, that's a good point.
Yeah, why do that now if you're already in a condensed season? That doesn't make any sense to me. Unless
that's a good point.
Thank you. See, I podcast for a reason.
You have them every, you know, once a season.
Yeah, well, it happens. But I don't like that at all. Top line Tom Wilson, I think that they kind of gave it to him due to the fact that he has played so well in this season so far on the fourth line. They kind of were giving him a reward, saying like, look, we think we can count on you. I don't think you can on the top line. I think he does well in that fourth line. He works well with Beagle and Winnick. Why break that up? But like you said, why not put one of the young guys up there, kind of from Hershey, to replace TJ Oshie? I don't know if that's the best idea. Do you really want...
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I'd plump someone up from the second line and put the Vrana or whoever on the... put them on the second line, replacing that person.
If CSN was talking about why not put Verano or somebody else up on that top line,
that might be too much.
That's a lot of pressure for a Hershey Bear to go from being in Hershey to playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom, two of the best players in the world. That's.
I mean, all you got to do is park your ass in front of the net.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But man.
Park your ass in front of the net and wait for the puck. Because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And you better damn well be ready or you're going to hit in the face.
All right. So, anything.
Bam! Oh, what happened? Oh, I took a shot.
Anything else in Caps World we should talk about?
Probably, but I can't think of anything at the moment.
Well, we do have to say.
I mean, they're playing well. They need to continue. And if they don't, then that's duh. No, it's staying focused. It's one of those things we saw in the past where they clinched too early and then they're like, all right, guys. Let's all hang out, and that creates problems. Yeah. And so we'll see if this team is able to continue to push forward and push through the not the malaise, but the sort of damn it, what am I trying to say? We're almost like they get too relaxed. There's a better word there that I should be using, and I can't think of it at the moment. But like they get too comfortable with where they're at, and they sort of relax, and they kind of, but they ease up on the gas a little bit. They sort of, you know, the foot comes off the pedal a bit, and then they hit the playoffs. They're like, yeah, we're going to be ready to go. And the other teams in the NHL are like, yeah, F you guys. No, you're not. So they have to continue to push is the biggest thing. And you almost want them to be fighting for the playoffs before the playoffs happen.
Sure, yeah. One more thing before we get out of Caps World. I do have to bring this up. Congratulations, Daniel Winnick. He's playing his 700th game against Dallas.
I still want him traded. I'm just kidding.
And I think it's his birthday as well. I think that's all happening at the same time.
Now I definitely want him traded.
He's been all over the league. But congratulations, Daniel Winnick. 700 games. Happy birthday. All right, guys, that is it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Down on the Farm. But before we talk about the Bears and the Stingrays, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Let's do a quick check-in on the Bears and the Stingrays, where Hershey is currently fifth in the Atlantic Division at 31-17-11, good for 73 points. Now, if they were in the North, they'd be in first place right now.
Really?
Same if they were in the Pacific. Actually, they'd be tied for first place besides my points. They're in a very tough division. They got to keep winning. They got to keep getting points because they're in fifth place.
Uh-oh.
In the division. Well, not in the division. In whatever the hell the other one is, like in the West, they'd be in, you know, first in the Pacific. Whatever the other one's called, they wouldn't. But the point is, I think they'd be first in the North by like 5 points. So apparently the North in the NHL sucks. So I guess that's the point. So I want to go to a Bears game. I don't know when I'm going to have a chance. But that would be cool.
Did you see the t-shirts they had over the weekend that they were giving away?
No.
Slick. So slick.
Oh, now I got to look them up. Hold on.
Has a 17 on the back and across the chest. Actually goes diagonally down the shirt.
Where did you see this?
And it says Bears. Probably on the Hershey Bears Facebook page or their Twitter account.
Oh, that is a cool shirt.
That is a slick shirt. Yeah.
I like that.
Hershey Bears are stepping it up this year with the giveaways, man. Good stuff from them.
That's very cool. Yeah, it says Bears diagonally down. It's in the chocolate brown, the shirt. The Bears is actually written in brown, a little darker. It's got the Bears logo in the left corner. And then 17 on the back. I like that.
I like it a lot.
Damn it.
I will take one.
I gotta go to eBay. Son of a... Anyways, Hershey's back at it on Friday. They'll be in Lehigh Valley. Saturday, they're going to be in Bridgeport. And then Sunday, they're back at the Giants Center. I believe it's a 5 o'clock start against Providence. Congratulations to Chris Bork. 500 career games with Hershey. That is a lot of chocolate. Now, newly acquired goalie Phoenix... I know that's not how you say his name, but it's funny. So I'm saying it anyways. Phoenix Copley, he had a rough return to Hershey as he had to leave his first game since being reacquired after becoming dehydrated. That's bad. It's got to be scary for him. So hopefully he's okay and be back at it soon. But that's pretty scary. What did they say? Like hockey goalies lose like 5 pounds a game?
Something like
that.
I may have
exaggerated that somewhat.
I mean, it's a rough place, man. It's a rough position to be in. You get no breaks? So, you don't leave the ice ever?
Yeah. I mean, you get a break, like, when the whistle blows.
Well, sure, but you don't get to, like, go sit on the bench. You're standing the whole time.
You're just like, oh, guys, I'm bored. Well, yes, Dick. It's like the question I ask in the past is football. But, like, would you rather be a punter on a bad team or a good team? Because if you're on a bad team, you work a lot. But if you're on a good team, you never really get to play, but you win.
Ask Justin Tucker, because he's always on the field.
That's a good point. Yeah. Fair enough. Let's head down to South Carolina. The Stingrays are currently fifth. What is it with the both teams being at fifth? They're in fifth in the South Division with a record of 31-25-3, good for 65 points. They are a lot of points behind first place Florida, but they're only 4 back of second place Greenville. So it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Now, let's see. Let me ask you, what do you think about the Phoenix Copley deal of him coming back to Hershey? I was a big fan of him. If you remember correctly, the year before we got Oshie, I actually gave him the Rookie of the Year or the AHLer of the Year, whatever our What the Pucky name is for the minor league guy, the Skipjack Award. I gave that to Phoenix Copley the year before we traded him. So I was bummed that...
you are the kiss of death. Or, you know, kiss of trading. Or, I don't know, that got weird.
Well, yeah. But I like Phoenix Copley a lot. I'm happy he's back in the organization. He played a couple games for the Blues. He's looked good. He can go AHL, NHL level. Doesn't really matter. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's an opportunity there, and depending on what happens with the Vegas draft, you know, he may have more opportunities coming in the fall.
Yeah, we'll see then.
Possible. So the Bears, they're a lot, like I said, behind first place Florida. They're only four back of second place Greenville. So it's an opportunity for this team to certainly push forward with South Carolina. They'll be back at it on Saturday with back-to-back home games against Florida. Talk about some big games going against the top team. You have an opportunity to sort of take away some of that lead. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. We're talking about all the people that got moved around. It's the trade deadline has come and gone. Somebody's wearing red. Somebody's wearing blue. Some people are no longer in the NHL. We'll talk about that. All right.
What? Guys.
That happens.
Hey, don't get ahead of where I am in the trade tracker.
I'm sorry. All right.
How dare you?
So, Coach
Let's
Dan.
Go back and start. Yeah, go ahead. Plug us in.
Tell me what's going on around the NHL.
But Brandon, I'm going to tell you, there's all sorts of things happen. I don't know, man. There's like so many trades before the deadline. The deadline was so freaking boring. Let's start back on the 23rd where the Penguins, they acquired defenseman Ron Hainsey from Carolina for forward Danny Christo. That's kind of a cool last name. And a second-round pick in the 2017 NHL draft. Anaheim going for broke, picking up forward Patrick Eves from Dallas for a conditional. I hope that conditional rules are not as big as the Capitals trade with St. Louis. Good God. Second-round pick in 2017 draft. L.A., surprisingly, picked up a goaltender, acquired Ben Bishop in a fifth-round pick in the 2017 draft. From Tampa, for goalie Peter Budaj, I didn't know he was still in the league. Defenseman Eric Cernak, seventh-round pick in 2017, and a conditional pick in 2017. It's not around, so I don't know what that means. Minnesota picked up Martin Hansel, Ryan White, and a fourth-round pick in 2017 from Arizona. For a first-round pick in 2017, a second-round pick in 2018, and a conditional fourth-round pick in 2019. They just wanted to draft from every year, apparently. They also picked up forward Grayson Downing. I don't know who that is. Let's see what else we got going on here. Toronto picked up forward Brian Boyle from Tampa Bay for forward Brian Froese and a second-round pick in 2017. I'm sure I said his name wrong. Dallas, who's beating up on the Caps right now, they traded away defenseman Jordy Benn to Montreal for defenseman Greg Paternin. And a fourth-round pick in 2017. Vancouver, surprising me, trading Alex Burrows to Ottawa for center Jonathan Dahlin, son, I believe, of Ulf Dahlin, but I might be wrong. And then I believed the Senators signed Burrows to a two-year extension. They're not wasting any time. We talked about the Shattenkirk trade already. Rangers picked up Brandon Smith from Detroit for a second-round pick in 2018 and a third-round pick in 2017. I probably said that backwards. Victor Stahlberg went from Carolina to Ottawa for a third-round pick in 2017. Johnny Oduya back with Chicago for the 975th time. I might be exaggerating. Dallas sent him to Chicago for forward Mark McNeil and a fourth-round conditional pick in 2018. Oilers picked up David Desjardins from Montreal for defenseman Brandon Davidson. San Jose – there's a lot of trades, guys. San Jose picked up Yannick Hansen from Vancouver for forward Nikolai Goldobin. And a fourth-round conditional pick in 2017. Detroit sent Steve Ott to Montreal for a sixth-round pick in 2018. The Capitals actually made a second trade, but who cares? Because minor league guys, they sent goalie Joe Kanata to Colorado for defenseman Cody Corbett. Yes, I said his name funny because I felt like it. Detroit sent forward Tomas Vanek to Florida. Parents for old people go. For defenseman Dylan McElrath, that was probably unnecessary for me to say. And a third-round pick in 2017. What else? L.A. sent Dwight King, brother, cousin, I forget, related somehow to former Capital DJ King. L.A. sent him to Montreal for a conditional fourth round. So many conditional picks traded, Brady. Let me tell you, here comes another one. Colorado sent Jerome Iginla to L.A. for a 2018 conditional fourth round pick. Who else got moved? New Jersey sent defenseman Kyle Quincy to Columbus for defenseman Dalton Prout. This is going to be one of the weirder ones, as Philly sent defenseman Mark Streit to Tampa Bay for forward Valtteri Filppula, a fourth-round pick in 2017, and a conditional seventh-round pick in 2017. But Streit wasn't done moving. He then got sent from Tampa to Pittsburgh for a fourth-round pick in 2018. Strikes now with the Penguins. That was confusing. New Jersey sent P.A. Parenteau to Nashville for a sixth-round pick in 2017. As you talked about, the Penguins sent Eric Fair, Steve Oleksii, and a fourth-round pick, probably also used to be part of the Capitals, to Toronto for defenseman Frank Corrado. Penguins just trying to shed some salary, be my guess. Winnipeg sent Drew Stafford to Boston for a conditional sixth-round pick in 2018. Dallas sent forward Lauri Korpikoski to Columbus for defenseman Dylan Hetherington. That's way too many suffixes in this gentleman's name. You need to pick one, sir. That trade's boring, so I'm not talking about that one, and we're done. So that's pretty much all. That's all the big trades. A bunch of other things happened, but they're minor league guys or lesser-known players no one cares about. But those were all the big trades that went down at the trade deadline. Last little bit of news. The non-Vegas Golden Knights signed their very first player, Brandon. They signed free agent forward Reed Duke to a 3-year entry-level contract today.
All right.
Duke coming out of the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Yeah.
Formerly Eric Fair's team.
Great name.
But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on in the NHL. Golden Knights signed their first player. They're at the general manager's meetings. George McPhee saying hi to everybody. Probably. I don't know what he's doing, but hopefully he's not trying to steal any. Or you know what? You can go ahead and steal someone. You can go ahead and steal Brooks Orpik. But that's what's going on in the NHL.
You think he's going to have a good relationship with Brian McClellan? I mean, they worked together for a long time. I have to assume that the Vegas Golden Knights and the Capitals are going to be trading back and forth as long as McPhee is the GM.
I think there's a possibility because McPhee knows the team. But I feel like that won't matter because if he tries to come with a dumb trade, McClellan's going to tell him to go F himself.
Well, but
I think that there is definitely the likelihood that there is a trade between the Golden Knights and the Capitals because McPhee knows these players better.
He does. I think we're going to have a lot of interest out of Vegas in the team in D.C. I really do. I think McPhee's going to go after a lot of players with the Capitals. So we'll see what happens down the road, but that's what I see going on. What's with the Penguins taking all the former Capitals and moving them to Toronto? Steven Oleksii.
I just like that I don't have to hate them anymore.
Eric Fair. I mean, I think
I'm rocking. Oh no, this is my Hershey shirt I'm wearing right now is a Matty Perreault one. I have a Fair one as well.
He's in Winnipeg.
I got to stop picking up players that are no longer. He may be going to Vegas. You never know.
It's true. Matthew Perreault, I don't know if you saw the video or not, but Brock Lesnar, the Beast Incarnate, visited the Winnipeg Jets, and Matthew Perreault was the one who was giving Brock the tour, led him across the logo.
I saw that.
Matty P, what are you doing, dude?
Oh, Matty P.
Come on, man.
Can I bring up the point that why is if stepping on the logo is such like a big deal, and like I get it, why is the logo on the floor?
I've wondered that as well. Like that just seems like counterintuitive.
Ryan Drury, can you help us out with this? Yeah, he's Canadian, right?
I would hope so.
I think so. But Ryan, explain. Like, I understand why stepping on the logo is bad. You don't do it. But then why put the damn thing on the floor where humans walk?
What?
Why not put it on the ceiling?
Ceiling? Wall? Maybe?
Door? Yes, having something on the floor makes the rug look nice. Or the carpet, whatever. But I don't get it.
Why not have the face of your arch rival, like the captain? Like, could you imagine having a giant Sidney Crosby face on the floor?
Oh, God. No, thank you.
And then just walking all over it.
You know, actually, they do their real game.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
I can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, where I'm talking all sorts of Capital stuff as well as other teams, seeing that the Redskins are finding new ways to screw up the organization, watching as Arsenal freaking putter. I don't know what they're doing. They're screwing up their chances like I'm screwing up the sentence for the rest of their season as they're going to get beat by Bayern Munich tomorrow. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Brandon, Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brandon Cash Entertainment?
Now, before I do that, I got to tell you this. So there's a new podcast I've been listening to, and this is going out strictly for just wrestling fans. It's called Something to Wrestle With, and this producer... It's really interesting if you're like a TV nerd like I am. But the producer that used to work at the WWE, Bruce Pritchard, he was there from like mid-80s to 2008. It's got lots of stories about how they got certain shows on TV, bada, bada, bada. Well, they did an episode of the podcast about the XFL. That was Vince McMahon's, you know, failed... football league.
Oh my God, that was so stupid.
It was really bad. If you watch the ESPN documentary, it's very interesting. But here's a little tidbit, little trivia. I didn't know about this. Vince McMahon almost bought the Washington Redskins.
Really?
Around the XFL time, he really wanted to buy the Canadian Football League and turn that into the XFL. They said no. He wanted to buy an NFL team, and the Washington team is who he was after. It's one of his favorite teams to watch.
I don't know why.
I was a little shocked about that too, but apparently, big Redskins fan in Vince McMahon almost bought.
Hey,
the
so
team.
Is Matthew McConaughey.
All right, all right, all right. All right, so let's get back to business here. Back to business. Go over to facebook.com/WTP podcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We're sharing photos, videos, anything we find interesting related to hockey and the Capitals we put on our Facebook page as well. Go over to Twitter and like us on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. So, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to
that
please...
That was my favorite.
Satchel?
Yeah.
That's the best quality.
I still don't know what that is.
Guys, when we do the show for free, you listen, stream, and download for free, and we've been over where. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social, on the web, on your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, let's tell you guys what games are coming
up. In like 4 weeks.
Supposedly, we will be talking again fairly soon, but who knows what kind of curveball life will be throwing at either one of us in the next
week.
Hey, man,
they're calling for snow early next... actually, it's... Never mind. Yeah, they're calling for snow early next week.
So, yeah, things are just going great. So I hope you guys enjoy late nights, because that's what we got coming up. The Western California road trip is coming up this weekend. And on Thursday, March 9th, the Capitals stop in San Jose up against the Sharks. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet locally here. And that puck drop time is 10:30.
Not finishing that one.
On Saturday, the Caps go Hollywood. And they're up against the LA Kings. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. 10:30 start up against the Kings. Then on Sunday, the Caps finish off their Western California road trip in Anaheim up against the Ducks. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet locally, the NHL Network around the U.S. And that is a 9:30 start. So don't have to wait up too long for that one. 9:30. That's a little different. And then on Tuesday, March 14th, the Capitals up against Minnesota, don't you know? Oh, yeah, you betcha. They're back in D.C., welcoming the Wild. And Bruce is coming back into town in the phone booth. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on Comcast Sportsnet locally here. And then hopefully we'll be back on the 15th recording another show. Hopefully. We will see. No promises at this point. But that's it.
Yeah, you never know.
That's it for the show this week. Thank you all for sticking with us, and thank you for continually listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. We're getting down to the wire. What do we have, like a month and a half left of the regular season?
Yeah, something like that.
Because the last game is April 9th. So, yeah, we are almost a full month away from the end of the season until the real fun starts. Thanks for sticking around with us, guys. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the... Did I say that right? That sounded weird.
I think as you stopped.
Yeah, I was like, contin. And I'm like, that's not right.
Put the words.
All right.